four wheels and a steering wheel.
One of those crown things on the front.
Yeah, it's just a stick-on.
Is it?
Mm, maybe.
I'll tell you all about it.
It's an old motor.
Mine's an old car. Welcome, everybody. Oh. Is that on? I don't think you said on. If I turn it off and now I can't get it back on. Try now. Hello. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the Ku-ring-gai Local Planning Panel meeting. On behalf of the panel, I'd like to recognise the traditional custodians of the land upon which we meet, the Gurrugal people, and pay my respects to the elders past and present and to any of those here today. We have no registered speakers, but we have on the one item of business, which is 3436 Demarest Street, Gordon. But first, I'll call for any apologies. Every panel member here, and I'd just like to welcome the panel members. Expert panel member Gero Cherizzi, expert panel member James Coleman, and our community member today, Frank Coe. I'm Jacqueline Townsend, the chair. And there's no other apologies, Kerry, is there, from staff? Thank you. As I've mentioned, there's no register speakers today, but I note that there is someone from the applicant, the architect, who we'll probably call on once we get to that item. So thank you for attending. Declarations of interest, panel. Do we have any declarations of interest? None?
No.
Are there any staff declarations to be made? Do you know of any declarations from staff? None? Thank you. we normally have 3 minutes speakers time limit, but because there's just the one item, which is the demolition of existing structures and construction of 9 townhouses, which is multi-dwelling housing with basement parking, landscaping and associated works. If I could ask Mr. If you could come, I know there'll be a number of questions to be asked of you, so if you could assist the panel, we'd greatly appreciate that. Thank you. if you could just state your name and your position and your relationship with the applicant, that would be appreciative, just so we've got it for the record.
So my name is Tuan Ngo. I the Associate Director of Van Vac Tuan Architects. The architect responsible for the design of the subject site. Yes, that's it.
Thank you very much. I might just go to Mr. Cherizzi. He's one of our experts, and I think he may has a number of design questions he might want to put to you.
Thank you. Do you have plans by chance?
Yes, I do, on my computer. Do I?
It might be a good idea if you grab those. Thank you.
Okay.
Sure. Do you mind going to drawing number A101?
Yes.
Townhouse number 3, your laundry seems quite small when I look at that.
Yes, so these are standard cupboard laundries. So we have, what we need is normally 1.2 meters wide for the laundry and the tub. What we have shown there is a bit more than 1.2. That should be enough for a typical laundry that we envisage for these units.
It just seems, in comparison to the other ones, to be quite small.
Yes.
Are you talking about 1.2 metres in terms of its width?
That is correct.
Its depth looks really quite narrow, and it looks like it to be around 500 wide.
They should be 600 millimetres. Not that I can measure from here, but that's the standard that we use. That should be able to fit a standard washing machine and a tub.
Right. you've got access to townhouse number three. It seems like you've got two points of accesses. You got one next to the lift, and then you've got another one which is in between the two visitor spaces. Is there any reason why that second door can't be closed off in the laundry area, made larger in a more appropriate manner in comparison to the other townhouse?
Yes. That there are two doors. The door opposite the car spaces and the door next to the lift. The original design only has one door, which faces the car spaces. The second door was to assist level access to the internal lifts because of the later changes to the levels. Yes, the door opposite the laundry can be removed or can be relocated. But as far as we're concerned, it doesn't change the size of the laundry. It might, when the door is in use, it might block the laundry, access to the laundry doors. But we think that most of the time is closed.
But you could reconfigure the stairs and move the bike space and try to relocate.
Yes, we can do that. I have noticed in the conditions that they mentioned stairs to be changed to quarter landing or half landing. So some of that would have to be taken into account.
Thank you. The other question I've got, if you go to drawing number 102, and it's, I'm trying to get an understanding of these voids and how they're working.
Okay.
So if you go to townhouse number two,
yes,
you have a very small media room, you've got a bathroom, you've got a storage area with skylight, but then you've got all these other void areas which extend across over the driveway. I like to understand why it's been designed that way, because the storage area seems a little bit unusual in that location than with the bathroom. So I'm just, from a functionality point of view, I'm having some difficulty understanding the rationale behind it.
So we're talking about unit two?
Yeah, that's right.
There's no void in there. These are a large slab. What we need the slab was there for structural stabilization of that area. Now we, during the course of the application, we were in discussion with council planner, and we come to the conclusion that these spaces are they too dark, they're too deep. We can't use them. So we have decided to close off all these areas. So they're not void. They are slapped there for structural reasons.
But in your cross section, if you go to your cross section, bear with me as I find that drawing number.
03, is it?
If you go to your cross section 201.
Yes.
You've got void area which is sitting above the bin and the driveway area through there. So. Why would you have a void area in there in the first instance? And if it's structural, why wouldn't the structural wall be running east-west parallel to your fire stair? And I guess I've drawn it here. I don't know if you can see it from there. But why would you not have your wall running through there?
Yes. So let me go back to the floor plan. The structure we're talking about is the stabilization, is the membrane slab to hold the Dumeric Street part to the buildings from grid 5. So it's actually the slab that is required, it's not so much the wall. When we take that slab out, underneath that, there's no, if you look at floor plan 101, that slab is to hold the entire floor above that spaces, because there's not enough structure right at those car spaces, as you can see.
Yes.
So the slab is there to span from halfway between grid 1 and 2 to grid 5.
Yeah, but the void which you've got, the void you've got in that area through here,
yes,
which is where the terrace is sitting above.
Yes.
That's not required for structural reasons because it's only a terrace above.
Is there to hold, is there to span the, between the first point we have structure, which is the, you can see the car spaces there?
That the car spaces is basically underneath your townhouses, that's to the side. There's your car parking under there for your townhouses.
Yes. So is that to span from, let me see, the drawing again, 200. Sorry, which drawing was that again? 200.
If you go to 201.
201.
Yeah. You got your cross section there, so you've got the void which is sitting above the truck, which is above that driveway area.
Yes, yes.
So what, and above that, that's the top level of slab, is your terrace areas for your townhouses, which is there for your separation gap between the built form.
Yes.
So I'm trying to understand why we have a void in that area there, running through here.
Yes. So originally what we had there was a series of rooms, and the structural advice was that we need a slab to cantilever, to span between, if you can see grid 5 and to the left of grid D on that same section.
Yeah.
There's a wall underneath there. And so that slab is to sit, to span between that void, because we can't put any structure in between grid D and 5 or thereabout of grid D. So that's a big, long span. We need to put things, we need to put structure to support the level above that onto that slab. So it becomes a transfer, the whole slab acts as a transfer structure. And then because of that, we cannot remove the slab. So what we were, decided to do was just to close the entire room off for planning reasons. We decided not to use those area, but we need that there for structure reasons.
The other question I've got is then to understand the rationale as to why, and I'll bring your attention to drawing number 104. You've got a void to townhouse number 2 again.
Yes.
What's the rationale behind that?
In front of that void is a two-story glass. It's a light well. It provides light throughout the living room. So the light comes from the top, which is the floor plan you're looking at, which is A104. Mm-hmm. And so there's a window there that shed lines all the way down to ground floor, which is, I suppose, 103.
So you're saying the purpose of that void is simply to provide...
It's a light well, provide light throughout the space, the living room.
My other question relates to the footpath along the new road.
Yes.
On your plans, you show a footpath running along it says proposed road on your plans, but it's obviously now being constructed. We've got a guardrail there. So am I assuming you will be removing that guardrail to allow for the footpath to be constructed?
I think so. At the moment, the guardrail, I think, is just for prevent fall into our side, because the level has been changed.
Yeah.
But when the new building comes in, it mm-hmm. has to negotiate between the new roads level mm-hmm. and the houses. So there will be landscaping, there will be steps.
Right.
So there will be some berming and landscaping to make the guardrail redundant.
And you've had discussions with council about removing
yes,
that?
Yes, so we have had discussion on that matter right at the beginning, at the planning stage of the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
If for whatever reason the guardrails need to stay, I'm putting a hypothetical, mm-hmm. You have no objections in therefore moving the footpath to be at the property boundary?
Would you explain that again, please?
So rather than, I'm just putting a hypothetical, because I don't know the answer.
Yep.
At the moment, you've got the footpath which is running along that edge, which is where the guardrail is.
Yes.
Is there any objections if there's a need to move the footpath so it's actually abutting your boundary?
There's no reason. We have designed every levels to be in accordance with the civil design for the road,
right,
at the level of our boundary. So okay, we're not changing any levels there.
Okay. Oh, that's it for me.
Yes, I've got one question. Your site analysis drawing A010,
yes.
Pardon me, clearly shows the solar access, and I'm concerned that, or at least I'm curious as to why your internal planning of the units appears to have turned your back on the winter sun to the north.
Yes, so we had two. If you look at the floor plans, at the beginning we were thinking of what are the living areas. So the entire floor plans actually, sorry, the entire ground floor. Drawing is 102, I suppose.
Yep.
It's the living area. So it's the kitchen, it's the living, it's the dining. So that entire floor plan is a living area. From that point of view, that would have solar access from the northeast side. The other reason for the living room to face the southwest is because that's the rear of the site. So if you have access from the other side, then your living area need to be screened and sheltered and things like that. So I think it's based on the DCP as well. There's also provisions in the DCPs that the living room towards the rear side. And so in taking all that into account, I think the entire ground floor is the living space. So it has, if you're talking about solar access, it would have some solar access towards the north where the entry, the kitchen area is, and some toward the south where you have the larger balconies where you can sit there and would have some solar access as well.
Your most generous balconies are on the southwest.
It is on the southwest. That's due to the roads, the approach to the units, as well as the topographical conditions of the site.
And why will that be important? I mean, why are you choosing to place your most generous balconies on the southwest?
Yes, so we need to address the street. So that's in the urban planning sense is quite important. We need to address the street with proper frontage. We have balconies towards the front, but we don't envision to have people having their private balconies facing the street, the largest part of the private balcony facing the street. So we provide some of that facing the street to address the street. But for privacy reasons, we would have to have it at the back of the unit.
Well, did you take into account the possibility that sometime in the future there will be dwellings on the southwest? So there'll be potentially a privacy problem there as well.
I think there's that's already taking. Sorry, that's a point has been addressed in the planning report. We had other.
You mean with screens?
The deep balconies and privacy screen, and we also during the course of the application process, we provided a few analysis with views analysis, where you can have different views, angles, whether you can see into the neighboring site and things like that. So I think providing the condition of the site and the setbacks and things, I think that should be able to accommodate buildings towards the southwest of the site in regards to privacy issues.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Frank. Do you have a question about the amalgamations?
Yes.
Now, the panel members are aware of the previous court judgment.
Yes.
And we're aware of the timeline as well. My understanding is the subject applications, was lodged early 2017.
Yes.
And there were as the submissions we see from the adjoining neighbours at number 38, raising concern about lack of attempt to negotiate amalgamations. So my question to you is, you know, given I understand, you know, the points that you guys have been included in your DA package, has any discussions been made since the submissions was received in 2017?
I am not familiar with the client's negotiation with the neighbouring site. I do know that the process has been carried out in the previous application, but for this application, I don't have that information. The client's not here today to answer that question, so, but I don't have that information. So.
Okay.
But as far as I understand the process is that they made followed the procedure of attempting at acquisition, acquiring the land in the south, and all that negotiation that usually that took that's what a very lengthy and involved process. So I think that's quite comprehensive in the last process, in the last application. So as to whether that has been repeated in this application, I do not have that information.
Okay. My next question is, you know, as part of that DCP provisions, negotiations with the adjoining neighbours, one part of it.
Yes.
And the second part is you need to demonstrate, you know, how the neighbouring size gets developed. Has any further development on that since the court?
Yes, so during the process of, I think, the previous application, I think we also supplied that package information with this application during the course of the review, the planning review. We had provided ways a mechanism where the neighbouring site can also be developed with a set of right-of-ways and connections and things to the driveway that we have and things to that effect. So that driveway design was designed in with that in mind, with the I would say, with the ability for a neighbouring site to develop their site using a mechanism like the right-of-way and things like that. So that informs the design of our driveway and access to the neighbouring site. So that is all done as part of the previous application. Nothing has changed on that matter, so the design remained more or less the same. So on that aspect, the package supplied, I think, at the beginning of the process still hold valid.
Thank you.
Can I just clarify what you've just said then? The package that you provided, was that on the earlier application or the one that's currently before
us? I think it was the early application, but I do not know whether that's...
Because this is a new application,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, but that was because there was... there was a deeper questioning into that aspect of it, and we have answered all of that, and we can resupply that that package, but the nature of the site access remains the same. There's no change to that.
Because at the moment, what's being provided on this application, on the face of it, potentially is we can't approve it because we don't have evidence of discussions. And we don't have a design. And council, in their own report, identify that this proposal is likely to compromise the redevelopment of next door in accordance with the R3 zoning, and specifically in terms it would not achieve the minimum site area of 1,200 metre squares, nor a site frontage of 24 metres for the provision of multi-dwelling housing in this report. So on the face of what's before the panel, we have no evidence that there's been discussions on this application with number 38 owners or a potential design that would render that 38 being able to meet DCP requirements or LEP requirements. So that's a challenge for us.
Yes, so this is the site isolation issue.
Yeah, that's right.
During the entire process for this application, we always thought that issue has been resolved in the previous application.
That application didn't succeed. The Land Environment Court gave no consent to that application. It refused that application.
Yes, yeah.
So you've lodged a new application. And that new application requires, we can't go and draw information from that for this application.
Okay. So,
what we have is, and I'm happy to be corrected, but the last communication, and that's in the court judgment of you communicate or your client communicating with number 38 is in 2016. So that means, from what I've got, there's been no communication from your client with the owner of number 38 since June 2016.
Let me just explain how we think about it. Site isolation is not, as far as we're concerned, is not an application. It's not part of an application. It's about the site ownership. So the client has made an attempt to acquire the site. Without an application, that process can happen. And he attempted that process to acquire the site. So it's a due process. It's a proper process of yet independent.
I appreciate that your client did it on the other application, but this is a new DA. That's currently being decided.
Yes.
And part of our decision-making process requires us to respond to that, to respond to the isolation issue.
Yes.
And that's a two-part question that we have to, that has to be responded to. And the first one is, what communications have been made with the owners of number 38?
Mm-hmm.
And the secondly is whether there's an impact on future development of that site. And I don't have anything before me in this application. I've got a judgment previously, but under this application, I don't have any of that information. So I'm just wondering, that might be something that you might. I'm happy to sort of defer for 10 minutes if you want to go and speak to your client to see if they've made any future made any contact in the interim. But
sure.
At this point, I don't have anything before me to answer that.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr.
Yeah, I just want to add, I mean, what compounds that is also the owner of number 38 during the exhibition of this application has still raised it as a concern.
Okay.
So it's, as the Madam Chair said, it's a pressing issue in terms of this application.
Do you think you'd be able to make a phone call?
Sure, I'll make that phone call and have a see how.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm happy for to adjourn, unless there's any further questions from the panel. But I'm happy, we're going to go in and make a deliberation. So I'm happy if you can make a phone call to your clients and maybe speak to Kerry over here with a response.
Sure.
And happy to consider that because there's nothing before us.
Sure.
That responds to that isolation issue.
Okay.
And it is a real issue because I appreciate you've probably felt that's been dealt with previously, this is a new application.
Okay.
And we can't just ignore that.
Okay. So I'll make that call.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, and then if you could let the secretary know whether your client has, and if they haven't, whether they'd be willing to make another approach to number 38 in relation to this application.
Okay, I'll make that call.
Okay, right. thank you very much for your assistance in coming today. You've been very helpful. Thank you. I note there's no further questions and no further speakers. So I'll now close the meeting and thank everyone for attending today. Thank you for the staff for your assistance this morning on site and before the meeting. And the decision will now retire to deliberate, and our decision will be on the website in 48 hours. Thank you very much.